And as the choir's making their way back to their seats, it is a time where we're joining in community prayer. If you have any prayer requests you'd like used during the service, please pass them to the center aisle, and Pat will be picking them up. And those concerns and joys we're naming this morning, we have prayers for truth in government, prayers for a family friend, Ann Borowski, found a golf ball-sized mass on a chest x-ray and needs further tests. So prayers for healing and for wisdom for those reading those results. We have a prayer of joy for finances. We have a prayer of joy. We're celebrating Zachary Ting's third birthday. And the flowers on the organ are given to God's glory in loving memory of Eldon Rinka. We have prayers for Anne, who is our lady who delivers the flowers and does the arrangements, for health for herself and for her husband and for their flower business. We have continued prayers for the coronavirus disease that's spreading around the world, prayers for global healing. We have prayers for our church-sponsored spiritual formation retreat, which is at the Siena Center in Racine at the end of this week, prayers for renewal for all those in attendance. We have a joy. After 14 months, Shanti's mother, Mrs. D. Johnson, got her green card this past week. So again, we're happy for that. And we have prayers for our youth lock-in, which is coming up on February 21st and 22nd, prayers for active participation. And now let's go before our God in a time of silent prayer. And please join in our unison prayer. Loving God, we pray that our faith will continue to grow, not fail. We thank you for your love and care for each one of us, our families, and our community here and beyond. There are many among us with special and specific needs. Please touch them and grant them assurance that they will be well cared for today and in the days to come. We all need grace. We mean sufficient grace to see through all problems, issues, difficulties, and challenges. Bring all of us to a place of healing and reconciliation in times of deep divisions in the country. Lord, have mercy. We pray for your blessings upon our church staff, church leaders, church volunteers, and all those who help our church in numerous ways. Please grant all of them and us wisdom that we all do the best for God, his kingdom, through our faith community. Let all our plans, programs, and initiatives continue to flourish as your promise says. I will bless you. I will multiply you. We offer this prayer in the name of the one who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Beginning, I forgot to mention about the acts of kindness cards in the pew section. If you have already noticed in the gathering area, we started putting these acts of kindness cards. We have collected almost six. So if you please take time to put the act or acts of kindness that you have done this past week, please do so. Today's scripture is from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. You may also find this text in the Pew Bible, page 2 in the Old Testament section. He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." The first time he said, that was Adam said. The second time he said, God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate." This is the living word of God. Thanks be to God. So the Sunday school class was well explained about the story of Adam and Eve. The teacher asked the children to draw some picture about what they have heard. So little Fred drew a picture of a car with three people in it. In the front seat, behind the wheel was a man, and in the back seat, a man and a woman. So Sunday school teacher asked Fred to explain, and this is what Fred said. This picture is about God driving Adam and Eve out of the garden. Today we are looking at the second life's ultimate question. Life's ultimate question is, who told you? This is the second question in the Bible. Who told you that you are without clothes on? Who has influenced you to think like that? Because I created both of you without clothes on. Someone has conditioned your mind to think differently and most negatively. This is a clarifying question that God is posing to Adam and Eve. Finding out the truth. Who told you? We keep hearing such voices. Internally, and most of the time from outside as well. Who told you that you are a failure? Who told you you are worthless? A mother told a teenager a year ago, "You are a waste of space." The teenager left home. Until date, nobody knows where she is. Who told you are a waste of space? Who told you will never be any good? Who told you will never make anything of yourself? For many, many centuries, people in Africa, until they received freedom, they were told that they are nothing. Who told you are nothing? Who told you are a loser? After the Super Bowl, I even did not think the title. Almost every news media put the title, Winners and Losers. Well, this year, loser will return and win next year, right? Psychologists, they say that there is something called internal monologue, an internal voice always telling us, which is not true. God is the one who created Adam and Eve. What he says matters. What the devil, the serpent said, does not matter. Those of you who are Packer fans, you know this gentleman, right? Vince Thomas Lombardi. He became an altar boy at the age of 12. Very successful player and successful coach. Every time he was asked about his life goal, he said, "My life goal is threefold: religion, family, and what's the last one? Football." He never missed the Mass. He never missed communion. Every time he participated in the communion, this was his soul prayer, he called it. the soul prayer. My God, if I am to die today or suddenly at any time, I wish to receive this Holy Communion as my viaticum. It's a Latin word. This will be my last beautiful healing communion. And those of us who are Packer fans, you know the history that under his leadership, five times, they won the championship in 7 years, and also they won 2 Super Bowls. After every time he was interviewed, what is the secret of your winning? And every time he said the same thing. I view my players neither black or white, but Packer green. Every time he said that, every time the team won, he said that, I view my players neither black or white, but Packer green. So God confronted Adam and Eve. He did not view Adam and Eve at the time of asking this question, who told you? He did not see them as people of disobedience. Yes. Yes, they did disobey, but only once. Only once. God saw these people, potentially a people of obedience tomorrow. They are going to turn around and change. This couple, yes, they did disobey yesterday, but tomorrow they are going to become a family. They are going to have children. God saw them as a parent of million generations. God saw Adam and Eve when he asked the question, who told you? A legend, potential legend of future world. God saw and viewed them, potential couple, to create a great history of humanity. Today, 2.3 or 4 billion people. One of the books that has influenced my life in the last few years, it's titled Bringing Out the Best in People. Bringing Out the Best in People. And it's an easy read book. And some of the sentences I want to share with you this morning from this book. If thou art a man, admire those who attempt great things, even though they fail. People who fail, just fail once. Disobeyed once. The devil always tries to make a mountain out of a mole. The only person who never makes a mistake is the person who never does anything. The fear of failure can destroy a dreamer with fine prospects, and that the most important lesson they can learn is that failures are only the wet stones of life. Failures are opportunities to sharpen my life as the wet stones sharpen cutting tools. Paul, in his letter to the church at Philippi, chapter 4, verse 13, he says, I'm using a very different translation, but worth reading that translation. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. What God says, what Jesus says, what the Spirit says, matters. Another great hymn Alisa chose for this Sunday, Grace Alone. If God were to know this song or hymn, this is what he would have told Adam and Eve after asking the question, who told you? What you heard from someone is not true. Grace alone. I'm going to supply you more and more grace from now on so that you will not fail in the future. Strength unknown. Adam and Eve, my creation, my friends, my beloved couple, the strength that you have within yourself, you do not know. Had you known the strength that I gifted to you, you would have defeated the person who told you false things. The strength unknown in you, I am going to bring it to the surface. The best in your life. Christ in us, Christ in you. And he is the cornerstone. And you will go forth, Adam and Eve, with a garment, with a dress called grace alone. It's not about your physical clothing and dress and garment. It's about what is the dress, what is the garment around your life, around your soul, and that's all it matters. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone. You and I, we all will go forth in grace alone. Let us pray. I invite all of us to take a moment of silence. I'm sure that we have heard such things, loser, failure, waste of space, or we would have told someone. But this is the time to listen to God. Who told you? Why did you tell? Grace alone. And today, after listening to the second life's ultimate question, who told you? We are called to be people of encouraging others. With these words of Scott Wesley Brown and Jeff Nelson, who wrote these words, every promise, every prayer, it's all about grace. We fail, we disobey, but at the same time, God's grace is with us. He is going to supply more and more grace. Many times we utter words that are very discouraging. We also hear words that are not helpful, which means we do not know our strength, which is a wonderful gift from God to all of us. Strength unknown. He will provide. This morning, O God, we pray that we want to be connected. We want to be eternally and permanently connected to the cornerstone who is Jesus Christ Himself. We want to open our lives this morning so that Your grace and strength can fill our life. Help us, O Lord, to remember the promise. To remember the promise that we will always go forth, leaving behind the failures, leaving behind the shortcomings, leaving behind the disobedience. As a family of God, we will go forth in grace alone. We thank You, O Lord, for Your love and care for each one of us. It was a question of caring Adam and Eve in their struggle. Help us, O Lord, to have a dress for our soul all the time, and that is grace, mercy, and forgiveness. And we want to make a promise in this beautiful sanctuary. Yes, Lord, we heard the question. And what we heard before is not true. But we hear Your voice, and we are ready. We will go forth in grace alone. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
We express our faith and commitment to God through our tithes and offerings for the work of God's church. The coins of love gifts for February will go to support Staines Memorial Orphanage and School. Staines Memorial Home and School is located in South India. It was established in 1996 for the purpose of providing food, shelter, education, and a healthy environment to boys and girls without family. Now it has grown to the extent of providing assistance to 106 boys and girls in three locations. The home has produced nurses, catering technologists, and four students currently enrolled in PhD programs in the local university. The home has expanded its ministry of building a primary school that serves primarily children from rural areas. Children are sponsored by a few members of First Church. We invite you to please continue to support this global mission, which is an investment in the lives of future generations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please join in the prayer of dedication. Holy God of mercy, redemption, and grace, this morning we bring our gifts and pray that you will dedicate them to your work of love and reconnection with all your children. These gifts seem small when balanced against what Christ has given us and what you continue to give us through the Holy Spirit. In our giving, may we grow in gratitude, trust, and faithfulness. In the name of Christ, who gave all for us, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you all for being here. And a great hymn of many centuries. It was written in 1873. Some hymns, first you write the words and put the music, and this is one of the rare hymns. First, the music was in place. Phoebe Knapp, she started playing a new music, and Fanny heard that music, and she started putting the words. So first music, and then the words. Great preachers of the 18th and 19th centuries, they always had their favorite song or hymn. And I'm sure that you know D.L. Moody was one of the very powerful, charismatic preachers of the world for revival meetings. And D.L. Moody, when he was doing a great revival meeting in New York, he used this song for his sermon. And many, many people at the end of the meeting came and received Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. A great hymn. I invite you, you know, just to listen to these words, the second stanza. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Don't hear all kinds of noises. Failure, loser, nothing, good for nothing. Let us keep our ears and lives open so that we hear the words of love, the whispers of mercy. And that will become my story and your story. That will become my song and your song. And all the time we'll be praising our Savior. And this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen.